everyone. 2021, where has Home of Houseplants been for the last 6-7 months, John? There's been a very long absence, and I've received many kind messages from people out there saying, when are you going to do another episode and where have you gone?
Here we are.
And here we are.
We're doing it again.
And who are you? Who do I have with me here today?
That'll be your husband, John.
John. John, the other half of Home of Houseplants. Welcome to 2021, John, the first episode.
Thank you, Joe, and welcome yourself to 2021.
John.
What a great year to be alive.
John, we look back on 2020 and the plans that we made for the podcast of interviewing the best and brightest stars on eBay and indoor plants generally, came a cropper.
Well, you know, sometimes life catches up, doesn't it? You know, we've been busy with the business and managing a family life. So, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you make your plans, but then life throws you, as the Americans say in baseball, a curveball.
There was a strong start to 2020 and then, well, coronavirus hit.
Well, coronavirus did hit. Did it affect us though?
Yeah, it did, in a very strange way.
When you say us, are we talking about you and me or
talking about the business,
Home of Houseplants?
I'm talking about Home of Houseplants. It affected Home of Houseplants in a very unforeseen and interesting way. And do you want to share what impact it had for Home of Houseplants?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Australian government gave out a lot of stimulus payments and we actually found that our business increased during those stimulus payments, so our business was doing better. So that's a real positive.
It is, you know, to take, and this is, again, listeners would be aware that this is a podcast about indoor plants, and so we're fully aware of the horrid nature of coronavirus and the impact that it has on families worldwide. But we're just taking the angle of examining the impact of coronavirus on Home of Houseplants and perhaps the indoor plant market generally in Australia. John, we were busier than ever for pretty much from the middle of the year to right up until November, our busiest period recorded in terms of volume of sales. But prices skyrocketed, John, on the indoor plant market. And by indoor plant market, I mean the rare and hard to find indoor plant Facebook groups that exist in Australia.
Yeah.
High price.
So rare plants were at a premium. And are they still there?
The market's dropped.
Yeah.
Christmas hit. I think people then directed their funds to Christmas presents and so forth. And it's never reached the lofty heights. But things would be listed for $3,000, $5,000, $7,000. And within an hour, it'd be sold.
And that's not necessarily from us.
You keep an
eye on what's happening out there on eBay. And sometimes I know you share in your posts from Instagram when there's a big sale
on eBay
and your followers love that.
It's interesting to watch it. This was just purely from a rare indoor plant group I'm a member of on Facebook, and I have sold a couple of little plants here and there on that group, but $3,000 plants, $5,000 plants, variegated Adansonii's, a lot of, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head what I saw, Queen Anthurium Warraquianums, the Queen Anthuriums was reaching $3,000 to $5,000 each.
Were they really?
Anthurium Vicii, the King Anthurium, were getting very good prices, not as much as the Warraquianum. But nonetheless, apart from that, you'd see Florida ghosts selling in milliseconds. John, a plant would be listed on these groups from well-known and highly respected sellers, mainly in far north Queensland. And you'd see sold, next in line. The sellers could have sold them 10 times over. It was a real anomaly.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
It was an interesting time.
Because you're listening to everything that's being said in the news and you know, the economy is in dire straits, and yet one little section of the economy was going gangbusters, you know.
I did hear, John, that though the seed growers, I heard from various garden centres that the seed providers in Australia had booming sales and were doing 24-hour shifts. So I think Mr. Fothergill's, their demand for seeds skyrocketed.
I guess that makes sense if people are staying home. You know, they're quarantining and it is summer. It's perfect time to actually get into the garden.
Home decor places.
Get your fingers dirty, plant some seeds, grow some plants.
They were inundated.
I know our daughter, she loved planting seeds and growing a veggie patch out the front of the house.
She did.
And they're still going.
Aquarium shops were doing really, really well. So it was obviously activities that you could do at the home to furnish and decorate your home were in demand. So that was I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have suspected the opposite, but that was a real interesting quirk on the impact of coronavirus on an indoor plant business. But we did, as the year started to wind up, the podcast was on our mind, John, but we had family circumstances that further took away our ability to produce some more podcasts. Would you like to share what that was?
Oh, sure. Look, I don't know where to start, Joe. Where should I start?
I think you need to start with telling people that it ended up with quite a serious diagnosis in the end of November by virtue of an incidental finding. And that incidental finding was an olive tree that saved your life.
Yeah, okay. So I guess this goes with the theme of indoor plants, doesn't it? But this is an outdoor plant. So we've got a, out the back of our house, we have an olive tree. This olive tree would be at least 80 to 100 years old.
Yep.
It's been well maintained and we will maintain it and prune it. And we once tried making our own olive oil, but with a bit of fun. But yeah, look, I was out the back having a beer with a mate and the kids were on the trampoline, bouncing on the trampoline, and they encouraged me to climb the olive tree. And in the past, you know what, I've set up a small
tree house,
like a tree house in there. Kids love climbing on it. So the kids encouraged me to climb up it, so I did. And then they said, Daddy, Daddy, go higher. So I climbed up higher. And then all of the kids, they were out off the trampoline and up the tree with me. And then they're saying, Daddy, how high can you go? Can you go higher? So I climbed a little higher than I normally would have. And I stood on a branch and that branch broke underneath me. And my feet would have been, I don't know, 2.5 meters to 3 meters up off the ground. And so I hit the grass below pretty hard. Lucky it was grass and not concrete, but I guess you'd expect to have dirt underneath the olive tree. Anyway, so yeah, hit the ground pretty hard and I was struggling to breathe. So I got taken off to hospital and they did a CT scan of my
ribs. At this point,
ribs,
you thought you had
chest,
broken ribs, didn't you?
In thinking that maybe I've got some broken ribs that are poking some organ. And that's when they found a neuroendocrine tumour on my pancreas. So a bit of a shock going in there expecting to find maybe some broken ribs and then to come out with pretty much a cancer diagnosis.
It wasn't a small cancer either, John, was it? It was the size of a cricket ball.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yeah, maybe. 4.4 centimetres in diameter. And
that was a shock to both of us because up until then we had no reason to suspect anything was awry apart from a bit of indigestion you were having in the months leading up to it, which was unusual. You did seek medical advice about that, but you're pretty much brushed off as you'd expect being a fit man in his early 40s.
Yeah, and that indigestion might not even been related to the neuroendocrine tumour. I think I was symptom free when it was found. So, and that's largely the nature. I mean, these are rare tumours. They're 1 in 100,000 cancers are these tumours. And most of the time when people are diagnosed with it, it's because they actually have symptoms. Sadly, the consequences for having symptoms are slightly more drastic. So I was very lucky that it was caught early by chance, and that the tumour hadn't actually spread into any other parts of my body. And the surgeon was able to cut it out and remove it. And it seems at the moment I am cancer free and I need to go back for 6 monthly checkups. But it was a bit of a shock.
Massive shock. I couldn't sleep that night. And there's that horrible sort of week to 2 weeks of not knowing. You just spent your time going for PET scans, CT scans, blood tests. And we won't harp on too much about it. It was a very dark period of our lives at that point in time. Absolute fear for both of us. Thinking,
yeah, what's worse is not knowing, isn't it?
Not knowing, absolutely. I had to rely on some friends for a lot and family for emotional support. It was a shocking period of time.
And the internet has a lot of information out there on these tumours, and some of it's old, some of it's new. But there was a website from the US that was very helpful, and they provided a lot of advice, and I managed to speak and communicate with people that have had the same diagnosis and how they've recovered.
That was a great group. So if anyone's going through something similar, if you're minded to, the support and cover we received from that Facebook group based in the US was fantastic. But a horrible period of time and a lot of stress, but the business had to keep rolling on, didn't it, John? And so we did have two new staff members who came on board to help us carry the load, because the business was still doing high volumes. And so we have two members of staff who help us with all the packing, and they do a brilliant job. And that took a lot of the pressure off. But it's key to know when to outsource certain things. And we haven't looked back. So we're grateful to have Barb and Mike on board. But that was the main reason why. During the boom in demand for indoor plants and the sort of shock cancer diagnosis really took away any free time that we may have had to produce some episodes. So the podcast went on the back burner, but we are determined to bring it back this year.
Back in action again.
Especially with your health on the up. It pretty much took the whole summer here, didn't it, John, for you to recover?
Yeah.
You spent most of the summer recuperating. You'd be able to go out for a little bit after 7 to 10 days in hospital, I think you were, John.
So. Yeah, 10 days.
But on the mend, you're looking well. We've just got to put a bit of weight
on. Thank you very much.
But so that's on the agenda. And we think we might pick up where we left off to interview sellers, because I really would like to hit up a few of these well-known sellers in Australia, because they sell some spectacular plants, because we see them all through Plant Concierge and the quality is exceptional. So stay tuned. But what else have we been doing?
Well, speaking of which, you have on the table over there a couple of books,
John,
that have been well read, and Joe has pink post-it notes all throughout the pages.
I'm going to put a photo of these and perhaps a few other books. So many of you might not know, and you wouldn't have reason to know, I love a good op shop. And I think in the US they're called thrift shops. Op shop, thrift shops, I love them. It's the treasure hunt. And I in particular love to go to the gardening section and pick up what strikes my fancy with the indoor plant books. But in particular, I have found two doozies. The first one, which I'll put a photo up on the Facebook page for Home and Houseplants, is Bottle Gardens. I think it's from the 1960s or John or 70s. It's a hardcover. It's all about growing plants in a demijohn, they call these bottles. I think it's a demijohn. It's by Roger Grounds. It cost me the princely sum of $1.50. It tells us the histories of Wardian cabinets from the Victorian era, the historical background to effectively the precursors to terrariums, and then goes on to give you ways to plant up a bottle garden. But I still say it's relevant to terrarium lovers as well. So I'm loving that book for $1.50. Fantastic if you can find it. And then, John, I've discovered the Exotic Plant Manual by Alfred Bird Graff. And I've since reading this This book, would be 2 inches thick. It's A5 size. It is not your wussy type stylist based indoor plant book. This is for the diehard aficionados like myself, who I'm not so much interested in styling of indoor plants. I want to know the nitty gritty of genus, species, descriptions. I want to know where they're from. So this is a real nerd's book.
And I have not heard you often talk about books as much as you have about this one.
Oh, John, I've seen a lot with indoor plants, but there was about 4 or 5 plants that I tagged to chase up further to see if I can acquire. But it focuses on exotic plants. And what does exotic plants mean? It's pretty much tropical stuff, the stuff that we love. I researched this author. He's a German fellow who passed away in 2001. He lived to the ripe old age of 100. He was, as I said, a German fellow who was a botanist who moved and spent his working life in the US working for a nursery. He got to travel the world, I think, in the 50s, 60s and 70s.
The book is full of photos.
And he discovered, I believe, 4 new species in his lifetime, and his passion was, I'm going to use the word indoor plants because that's what people understand this category would be, to be more than exotic plants, but it is by far the best technical-based book I've ever acquired. And I paid $6 for this book, John, at the Rotary.
Ooh, that's an expensive price.
The Rotary secondhand
You must have known it was going to be good.
I've put post-it notes, as John said, throughout it. 4,200 illustrations in this book. There are a few on eBay at the moment, I checked, mainly based in the US, for $7. Can I highly recommend everyone who's listening to this purchase those copies, because I was so impressed by this author. I researched him. He, as I said, he's passed away, but he wrote the final version of what I want to say, the successor to this book called Hortica. There was a few versions of this book in between this and his final work. But I broke the news to John. I spent $200 on this book called Hortica, written by the same author, Alfred Graff. And it is a spectacular reference book by all accounts, quite rare. It is probably about 18 to 20 years old, maybe a little bit older now, but I'm waiting for my copy to arrive.
Oh, so it hasn't arrived yet.
From a seller in Melbourne. There was one copy for sale in Australia I could find. The rest were on Amazon, eBay.
Yep.
So I'll have to give an update when I receive it. But if it's anything as good as the Exotic Plant Manual, I can't wait, because this was an early version of his work, but I'm going to get the final work he produced. As I said, the title of the book is Hortica, Hortica, written by Alfred Graff. So loving my indoor plant books from the 60s and 70s, John. The pictures are pretty spectacular too.
Yeah. It's almost like a Facebook for plants.
So if anyone wants to extend their passion elsewhere, check out your local charity shop, op shop, secondhand bookshop. Go to the gardening section. There are some doozies there. Again, the focus was purely on the plants back then. You'll get a few landscape shots of lounge rooms and terrariums and so forth, but you get a real detailed account of various plants and how to grow them and just really niche topics like bottle gardens. So I'll be busy reading, I think, for the next few weeks. But yeah, that's what we've been up to. So hopefully, John, we have some clear water ahead. We'll be able to return, fingers crossed, to some normality. Plant Concierge is doing well. Customers are past the sort of slowdown of Christmas and the new year. We're clear of public holidays.
Buying Plant Concierge, there really hasn't been a fluctuation in that.
No.
That area has. It's been the sales. Well, the plants that we've been treating, the volume has been fairly constant.
So
hasn't really been impacted upon by corona.
No, people still like their plants.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a nice little snapshot of what we've been up to. This is just a not a teaser episode, but just an update.
A quick update to let you know that we still plan on doing podcasts. They've been on the back of our mind for a few months, but now they're at the front of our minds. So we do hope to get a few more out.
Definitely. I think I'll make it my mission this week to contact a few people I have in mind. So stay tuned, everyone. But in the meantime, just have a look at the books I post on the Facebook post so you can get a feel for what I'm talking about. And we'll be back soon with the very next episode. Thanks, John.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.